When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report. Wherever you get your podcast, you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media, A-M-P-I-R-E. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can always read my work on ESPN.com. You can also become a member on the YouTube page. Go to the Empire Media YouTube page, see the word join, click on there, choose your membership, and we'll go from there. Anyways, thanks to all of you who have chosen to become members. And here we go. So today, the big news, Sam Howell was traded to the Seattle Seahawks. Essentially, what Washington has done is swap picks. The Commanders shipped Howell to Seattle, and Seattle gets Howell and a fourth-round pick, the number 102 overall, and a sixth-round pick, 179 overall. Washington gets the third pick, gets Seattle a third-round pick from Seattle, number 78 overall, and a fifth-round pick, number 152. So essentially, they moved up, 24 spots from the fourth round back into the third, and then they moved up 27 spots from the sixth into the fifth. So, you know, that's backup quarterbacks aren't going for a lot right now, even though despite what I told you, how some teams value them on their analytics chart, it's not the value. But to get an extra third, and that's always a good move. So you moved up 24 spots, you moved up 27 or whatever, 27 in the other one, that's all pretty good. So with that, Washington now has six picks in the top 100. It gives them a lot of flexibility and it gives them a few more options, right? So you can, one thing they clearly, and I've talked about this throughout free agency, it's clear they want to build through the draft. They did not give out crazy contracts. The veterans that they signed, the older guys, are all on one-year deals. So it's a, you know, if they don't really, they're coming here to help establish identity, culture, et cetera. That's what they're coming here to do. And then what you do is you get a lot of high-end talent in here and let them start to take it from there. So you get the vets in here, you get the young guys, watch, let them grow. That's how you can develop a program. Got to get the quarterback right, but you have a lot of flexibility now. Now they also, I know some people, you try to read into what does this mean, who they're going to do or take. I don't think this means that, oh, now they're going to be really aggressive going up to get Caleb Williams. They've added a third round pick, but they gave up a fourth. Just that pick alone is not going to get you to where you want to go. If you wanted to go up to get Caleb, that's about number one picks as much as anything. And so, yeah, you get a little bit more ammo, but it's not like it's a substantial amount that you can now go crazy and give up a lot to go up and get him. You know, again, I think the key is always that anybody has to ask themselves, would you rather have, let's say, Jaden Daniels or Drake May plus future number ones, plus, you know, your number two pick or Caleb Williams? And I think the Bears have to ask themselves the same thing. But everybody I've talked to still, everybody in the league thinks Chicago is going to take Caleb Williams. And I've talked to some who say they have to take Caleb Williams because you don't want to be the team that passes on him if he becomes the kind of player that his talent suggests he might be able to become. Anyways, but this is really about Washington moving on from Howell. And, you know, it's too bad to see the kid go. I like the kid. I think I enjoyed talking to him. I think he's a good pro. I don't think we've heard the last of him as a player. I know when you talk to people about him, they would view him as a high-end backup, mid-tier starter. That was his ceiling. That's why Washington's moving on. It should be no surprise to anybody that they traded Howell just because they have the number two pick in the draft. You're not going to sit there. You have a new regime coming in. They were not going to sit there and build around like whatever anybody says they think Howell should have been drafted in. Bottom line is he was a fifth round pick who had 1 year starting and he had to be better as a starter for them to make it a no-brainer for them to continue with him. And that's not what happened. Now, for part of the year, it looked pretty good. And for part of the year, he did not. Was it all his fault? No. I didn't think the scheme was great for him. I didn't think the game plans were great for him. The scheme was fine. It's just the game planning or the play calling, whatever you want to say. I don't think that helped him. I don't think the construction of the line helped him, but I don't think that he or others anticipated him throwing around 70% of the time. I mean, this should have been a team that was running the ball a lot more than it did. And instead they relied on Howell. And I think that was just a tough way to go. But, there's still things, there are parts of his game that he has to develop. I think one of the things that I know talking to people who had worked with him was as much about, his anticipation skills, improving his anticipation skills, improving his trust, working with some receivers down the field and trusting that, to trust them on some of those 50-50 balls, things like that. Now that you can help that with experience. And I think it'll be good for him to go to a place in Seattle where you have a veteran quarterback ahead of him who has been through a lot. And he can help himself by just learning from Geno Smith and being in a place where, maybe you have a chance to do something a little bit more, sit there and develop for a couple of years. With Washington, you're going to be sitting behind a rookie, and then they added Marcus Mariota. Now, my little two cents, I don't know, is Mariota substantially better than Sam Howell? I think, Howell still hasn't hit his ceiling for whatever anybody says. I've seen some people think he has. You don't hit your ceiling after 1 year. But how much better is he going to get? And the one thing that Mariota certainly adds is veteran wisdom. He's been through a lot, and now there's a clear line here. If Howell is here and you have the rookie, do fans get antsy if whomever comes in isn't playing a certain level? Then so when do you start chanting? When do the chants for Howell start? Whatever it is. Now, maybe that wouldn't have happened. I don't know. But I think what you do is now you have a clear line. You'll have your rookie, you have your veteran who's the backup. And then next year, or even like you could go out and get a guy next year in the draft like what San Francisco did with Brock Purdy. They went up and got Trey Lance 1 year, they get Brock Purdy the next. You should always be adding those guys. I've talked to someone the other day who was like, he's a big Ron Wolf. He worked for Ron Wolf. Like, he's a big Ron Wolf guy. And he's like, he believes in that philosophy. You add a quarterback every year. And it's tough to do that, but it's a good philosophy to always add one for those reasons. But what the point is, you can get that guy next year, maybe go another year with a veteran and get another guy in here who could develop into a backup for you. That's assuming and providing the rookie, whoever they take it to, then hits. But yeah, I never saw a scenario where I thought they would trade back and build around Howell. I mean, you'd have to put it on the list, but it was pretty low on the list because you need a quarterback, and there are quarterbacks in this class that you can take. And yes, if you trade back, to me, it was still going to be to go get another quarterback, but add more picks, right? Whether it's a JJ McCarthy or someone like that, whomever it would have been, like if you trade into the teens, that's the kind of guy you would target and then build with more picks. But I didn't really see a scenario where you would pass on guys like May or Daniels and whatever everybody thinks of them. Their ceiling is considered to be much higher than Sam's. That's why you do that. That's why you stay there, or that's why you take one of those guys, or you trade and pick. If you like JJ McCarthy that much, then you can trade and get him or Michael Penix or whomever. But you had to take a quarterback. I think that was always the plan. And again, today didn't solidify that for me. This was always going to be the plan. It's just a matter of where you get them at two, or whether you get them somewhere else. But it's like I said, Sam was a good, tough pro, and he's a smart kid. And I don't think we've seen the last of him by any means. And I think it's good for him to go somewhere to develop as well.
Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, zip lining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kime. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kime.
But I think we can go back to a year ago when you just look back a year ago. At that point, it was Eric Bieniemy's here. And, you know, Sam Howell could be this guy. And not that everybody was sitting there saying it, but, you know, you wondered because you knew that there was some talent there when he was at Carolina in his, you know, a couple of years ago, he had this great year. And we all know, like, there's a lot of teams had him as a third round pick or was, you know, third round grade, second round grade. And so you didn't know, there was the mystery of it, but it was a gamble, and it was a gamble on all fronts. It was a gamble with Bieniemy because he had, you know, he had not been a full-time guy in that role. And it was a gamble on Howell, and Washington lost all around. It wasn't their fault. I'm not going to blame it all on Bieniemy. I'm not going to blame it all on Howell by any means, but that was the roll of the dice that Ron Rivera made. And I think, you know, given who they had at quarterback, yes, they could have ridden with Jacoby Brissett, and the way Brissett looked, you know, you wonder what could have happened. However, you know, it's funny because even this was the problem that I had with last year anyway. When you talk to people there, like, they still only thought they would win like 8 or 9. Thought they were like an 8 or 9 win team. Nobody thought they were going to be this 11 or 12 win team, and they just woefully underachieved. And in year 4, you had to be further ahead than that. And so if you had gone 8-9 or 9-8 with Brissett, I still could see a coaching change. And because I think what you had to do last year is show that you had the quarterback. If you go 9-8 with Howell, you make the playoffs, I think you could keep your job. But that clearly didn't happen. But I think that's where the roll of the dice was. And, you know, again, for Rivera, it was a bigger roll of the dice to go with Brissett, just because I don't think they would have been more than just where I said they were, 8 or 9 wins, and he would have been out of the job. And this franchise would not be looking at a chance to get a guy who could maybe develop into the kind of quarterback they need to stick around. And listen, even if they don't hit on this guy, like, they've got a lot of picks now in the top 100 that you should still be able to build your roster. And, you know, and you want to hit on this guy too. I mean, it's a big, big deal because it can change your franchise around, can change this franchise around, but you can still continue to build because you now have that ammo in the top 100. And that's a good place for them to be. I like the strategy they've had taken this offseason, man. Again, responsible deals in free agency, good solid players in free agency, some vets who I don't, you know, how much they have left, we'll see. But I think the reputations are really good as far as how they work, and especially for like guys like Wagner, how they lead. I think that's all very important. Today, we also spoke to a handful of guys. I mean, we were on the Zoom for like 3.5 hours talking to players, and props to the Washington PR staff for shuttling these guys through as much as they did. And I'm going to talk about some of these guys more later. Today, I would end up talking about Howell more, but I want to talk more. I'll talk some more about what they added later with some other reporters. But like you talked to, like, one of the things that Dan Quinn likes to talk about, or Adam Peters, like getting a dog. Like, that's why they like Jeremy Reeves. They consider him a dog. And when you talk, you listen to some of these guys that we're talking to today, like a Nick Allegretti, you know, Frankie Louvu, Jeremy Chinn, that's what they are. So, like, for example, Allegretti, we're talking to him, and I think he's going to be a good voice in that locker room, been a backup. But one of the things that, as I even asked him, like, he had 1 year where he started 9 games, and asked him, like, when did you know that you could be that starter? Now, he played behind good players, but guys sometimes have to prove it to themselves. So he had one game where Joe Thuney couldn't play. He said he found out a couple hours before the game that he was going to start, and it was against Aaron Donald, and he felt like he held his own. That's when he knew he could play at a higher level. And so his number one job in the offseason was to find a place he could start. But he made it clear. He's like, I don't want to be handed anything. He, you know, people ask, like, what did they tell you? He's like, I don't want to go down that road. Basically, what he said is, I want to go out there and earn it. Now, a lot of guys say that, but he was very, he seemed to be pretty earnest about his ability, his desire to earn it. How's that? And, you know, he did not want to hear that he was coming here because he was handed something. That's not what he wants. He wants to go prove that he can be that guy. And you like to have guys like that in your roster. Now, I don't know what level he can play at, but the mindset is the one that you want in the locker room. I think that's a good thing. I think that line will, will have some good chemistry with guys like him, Cosme. Haven't met Biotis yet. Wiley, for all everybody talks about him, is a pretty good dude. And I think there's a chemistry there. Now you got to get better play. We all know that. But I think that's, you want that chemistry up front. I think that's an important factor for that group. Then you have like Frankie Louvu. Asked him, like, what are you bringing here? And he answered with three words. My dog. Hey, listen, I talk about a dog. There you go. That's my dog barking. He gets it. So yeah, Archie gets it. But when I asked Louvu that, he said, what do you add? He said three things: energy, tenacity, and grit. That's the kind of guys that you like to have on your roster. Now, not that they didn't have guys like this on there before, but even in talking to a few players from the past, who had been here, like they felt like the first couple of years under Rivera, like the locker rooms were pretty good. I think especially last year, it wasn't that the locker room bad. It was just the situation overall just didn't go well. And it just, nobody was happy. So that's never a good thing. But I do think you getting guys you have a fresh start here as an organization, you bring in guys like Louvu, Allegretti, I think it adds something. Jeremy Chin, I think you could describe him as having that as well. And these are the guys we talked to today. And then so I think that's important. Then we also talked to Marcus Mariota, asked him, he was asked about being basically in a backup role. And I think he understands what he's coming here to be. And I think one thing he said, now I've talked about this, that when he went to Atlanta, he went there to be a starter. And then you also had a backup behind you in Desmond Ridder, a rookie. But he was going there to be a starter. Here, he's coming here to be a backup. It's very clear what he's coming here to be. So one thing that helps him is he's been through a lot. And he even said he can talk to guys at the top. He can talk to guys at the bottom of the roster. And he can do that because he was a number two pick in the draft one time. He was a starting quarterback in the league. He lost his job. He's bounced from team to team. So he's been through every situation you could have put yourself through. And so I think that's something that also jumped out today. And then a couple other things jumped out. I'm going to go to Dan Quinn for a minute, because a lot of guys, every time they talk about like why you come here, and a lot of times they bring up Dan Quinn and just what he's building here. Now, what I've always learned in free agency, a lot of times it comes down to the money. I can't say that in every case. Like sometimes you might have a slightly better offer somewhere else, but you go somewhere because of familiarity, which is the same reason why these guys went out and got these guys. And just like Anthony Pittman, the linebacker from Detroit, they got today. There's a familiarity there. Lance Newmark was in Detroit in the front office when Pittman got there. So there's that familiarity. And so you know what you're getting. But Quinn was, I think, a good selling point for them. And the other guy who really hammered that point home was F.A. Obada, who also re-signed. So we're talking F.A., and I think F.A., just from a schematic fit, is pretty good, because one of the things I've always liked about him, now I will say, he freelanced a lot on there as defensive end at times. He definitely freelanced a lot. But if you have a guy you get very disciplined with, I think that can make a difference for him. But the other thing that he can do, he can rush inside, he can rush outside. So you look at a guy like Dorrance Armstrong, and somebody compared, it's funny because I was talking to somebody last night about that, and he compared Armstrong to F.A., but a guy with maybe more fluidity than what F.A. has. But in terms of the versatility and what they offer, that was the guy he brought up as someone that he kind of compares, that they have similar type games, but this is that Armstrong is considered certainly a better player. But that versatility, I think, will help with what Quinn wants to do. Now, the other thing he talked about that really kind of, I think, that certainly touched him, and I think it matters to a lot of people, and it goes back to Dan Quinn. So F.A., of course, broke his leg last year. He's in the hospital. He said he heard from two coaches. That's it. Two coaches, Ron Rivera and Dan Quinn. So now Rivera is his head coach. Now, there are other guys there on that staff that did not call him to see how he's doing. But Rivera did. And also Dan Quinn. And the reason why it's kind of remarkable that Dan Quinn did is because F.A. had not been with him since he said he was in Atlanta's camp for like 2 to 3 weeks, when Dan Quinn was in Atlanta. So we're talking at least 4 years ago when that was the case. He had talked to him since. But when he's in the hospital, Dan Quinn reached out to him. That's why guys like him. That stuff matters. When you see players as more than just your asset or your or just a guy on the field. They want to play harder for you. Then it comes down to, again, quarterback. But they want to play harder for you when that's the case. When they know you care, they want to play harder. And I think that's one of the things that he that Quinn instills here. Does it make you an automatic success? No. But I think it does matter to guys that they see you, that a guy sees you as something more than just a player. And when you have a guy that does that, it resonates with a lot of people. And again, a lot of people talk about that with him. It doesn't, again, it doesn't guarantee success, but I think you can start to see and understand why guys have a lot of respect for Quinn in particular. Now, the other thing that Obata talked about was the difference in the building. And he just, someone asked him about it, and he just kind of smiled. Now, all the players aren't there, but it's a different energy now because you have a new staff. So that's always going to bring a new energy. But, you know, he's a guy who'd been here for a couple of years. So it's going to feel fresh regardless, right? No matter who came in. Obata was just like, basically, it's very, very different. I was going to say a million times different. He didn't say that, but I think you could, the way he smiled about when he smiled, when he asked about it, he's like, you guys, you know, meaning us, you guys will see it. And we saw it when Josh Harris came in, but I think we'll see it more. And it's not just one guy, it's a staff. Like if you have a staff, that matters. And I think one of the reasons Mariota said he came here was because of Brian Johnson, whom he was with in Philadelphia last year. Johnson was the OC. So I think when you have those relationships, it does help. And you can run down the list. And I did this last night on the live stream show. Pretty much all these guys have a connection to somebody here. In fact, I don't know that there's anybody who didn't have a connection to somebody here. And I think on the live stream show and on yesterday's podcast, that was one of the things I talked about is how important that is, especially when you're not going out to visit guys the way you did in the past. So I think that really, really matters. So I think that's why, you know, again, it doesn't guarantee success. I'm going to keep saying that because I don't want people to, you don't want to like overstate where they are. I just think it's been a good week for their build. It's been a good off season for their approach to building it from the GM to the coach, to the staff, to this, you know, I think it's been a good start. There's nothing is perfect. And to be honest, sometimes with the staff, it takes a couple of years to get exactly the staff you want, because maybe you didn't get everybody you wanted the first time around. And with the front office, I think, you know, after the draft, there's typically changes. That's why guys, you know, scouts stick around through the draft. And then if you're going to make changes and bigger changes, that's when you make them. And so there remains to be seen where this all goes. The work is far from over, but it's been a good offseason for them. And it's been a really good week for them. And I hate to see how it go. Like I said, I like talking to him. I love talking to Taylor Heinicke. I thought, you know, Jacoby Brissett was a good pro to talk to as well, but I really liked Hal. And there was a definite, I like his demeanor. I like the poise he shows. I think he's got a shot to go out and develop into something, but Washington made the right move in doing what it did because it was, they had to move on. They are moving on. There was never a doubt about that. And so now they allow Hal a chance to go somewhere and he can move on as well. He's in a better spot than he would have been here as a third quarterback. And even if they had drafted Drake May, to be honest, if they had drafted Drake May, I think that would have been hard for Hal, because that's his best friend, or certainly one of his best friends. And I know that it would have been hard for him to compete with him for the job. And he may, if they end up with Drake May, I think Hal will be glad that he's somewhere else rather than with him. As much as they like each other, they both want to play and they both want the same thing. And it's a difficult thing to go through. And so I think Hal is in a better spot for that. And doesn't mean they're drafting Drake May, but it is, if that is who they end up taking, I think Hal will be glad that he's out in Seattle. Anyway, that's it for me. I'll be back. I don't know. If something happens Friday that's worth talking about, I'll come back Friday night. Why not? Maybe Sunday. If not, at the very latest, I'll be back Monday with another episode. Maybe Sunday. That's not a bad one. I like Sunday morning. So I'll get one out Sunday morning and we'll go from there. So I'll talk to you next time.